Okay, so what I thought we'd look at today is some writings of Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter. Who was Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter? He was one of the Gedolim of Breslov, who died in the Shoah. The Breslov website had a short synopsis of the lives of the great Breslovers of the past, and this is what it says about Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter. It's on the breslov.co.il website. Okay. If you go to that website and you look in there, I can't remember what exactly it's under the menu section, but if you look through, you'll find the biographies of different Breslov Hasidim from the past. Anyway, so what we learn about Rabbi Yitzhak Reiter is that he was born in 1886, which was 76 years after the passing of Rabbi Nachman, and he grew up with other. He never heard of Breslov Hasidim. Completely, never even heard about it. However, one day he was studying in Rav Sadok's yeshiva in Lublin, famous yeshiva, and he came across a copy of Likutei Moran. He became engrossed in lesson number 64. What's lesson number 64? That we are obviously, oh, 64, right. So what's 64? So I went to look at what 64 was, because that's what got him in. So lesson number 64 that he was engrossed in, the Neder Samach Dalet, talks about the Halal HaPanui, the void that Hashem used to create the world. When Hashem wanted to create the world, it was only Hashem. Ain't not Milvadov, it's only Him. Right? So how did He create the world? So He created a vacated space called the Halal HaPanui, the vacated space. Right? There needed to be a place that wasn't full of Hashem, Ke'ilu, in order to create all this physical world. Right? Otherwise, it'd all just be one. It would all just be Hashem. So He needed to create. So that creation of the physical, that was the beginning of creation. So that creation of the space where Hashem doesn't exist, so to speak, created the idea of paradox. A place that can't exist. Paradoxically, we can't understand how Hashem can be there but not be there. He met Rav Nachman in that Torah, and then goes on to explain that this place is the place of heresy. But the place, there's two types of heresy, of Nathan explains. This is completely off the topic, but we're in there now. Two types of heresy. One is a heretic that just has questions about God, about Judaism. And we could answer them if we knew the answers. We just don't know the answers. We're just not aware of the answers. Right? And the Gemara says in Chazal, I don't know where, says, know what to answer the heretic. I don't know where that's from. Anyway, somewhere in Chazal says, know what to answer the heretic. Rav Nachman says, that's type one. There is a type one where you can't answer the heretic, you just need to know the answer. Right? He's got some, what he thinks are really good questions. And if you're smart enough, you can answer him, and Zohar. He said, but there's another type of heretic where you cannot answer him. Because his questions come from the vacated space. They come from this space that's just twisted. It's like, it's this paradox, he says, and that's what Chazal say, that anyone who goes there never comes back. You can't get out of it. You're in a hole. Once you're in that hole, you're lost. Into the questions of the heretic, which have come from a root. They're rooted in the vacated space. They're rooted in a paradox that can't be answered. No, it's because that their question is rooted in a paradox that can't be answered in this world. In the world to come, it can be answered.
What caused them to dwell into the area?
They're heretics. They wanted to find a way of disproving God, so they came up with a way of doing it. But their questions are based on this, rooted in, they don't know it, and it's not obvious from what they're saying, but you should know the root is in this vacated space, in this concept of a place that where God exists but doesn't exist, right? So because of that paradox which can't be answered in this world, It's the heresy that can't be answered in this world. And the only way a person can deal with that is through pure emunah. You just have to believe, right? Hashem created a world where he doesn't exist but exists at the same time. It's a paradox. I don't understand it. I can't explain it to you. No one can. And if you try and go there, if you try, you're going to fall in and never get out. Rav Nachman says. So you can't even go there. You can't delve into that. That's called delving into philosophies and heresies. And anyone who goes there, they don't come out. Right? That's, he brings over their acher. That's one of the reasons that we were learning. Right? The acher fell into that trap as well and became a heretic. Because some things, they just can't, they're just not answerable. You just have to take it on enuna. So anyway, that's completely irrelevant to what we're learning today. But that Torah, I guess Rav Yitzhak Breiter. Sorry? Hook up. Right, a hawk. Hawk is something just, it is Sam. It's all part of the same idea. Things that. So, Rav Yitzhak Breiter opened up Likutei Moran. I don't know where that, he just opened it up and came across that Torah. Or he probably read the first 63 and then and then found that one. Whatever, you know, whichever it was, when he got to that, he was kind of bored. Right, he was like, shh. Like, right? And yeah, and so what happened? He hid the book away so that he could find it the next day and learn from it again. And then it disappeared. Right, you know, he lost it again. And then, right, that's why Hashem builds up our ratzon. Right, he gives it you and then takes it away. So then it disappeared. Right, and so then after that, he strove to find, to learn more about Breath of Torah. So a few weeks later, he found the book Parapat L'Chokhmah. What's Parapat L'Chokhmah? It's one of the, probably the most famous, one of the principal commentaries on Likutei Moran. It's written by the Cherina Rav. And after he read that, he got in contact with Breslov Hasidim in Russia. Then he made his first trip to Uman. And then he began spreading Breslov teachings throughout Poland. So that by the beginning of the Second World War, there were several thousand Breslov Hasidim in Poland due to him. Some other things. Unfortunately, as he was recognized as one of the Gedolim in the Warsaw Ghetto, he was targeted by the Nazis. The Nazis took out as soon as they could all the Gedolim, and he was put in amongst them, Gadol, and taken to one of their death camps. And that was when he left the world. So Yitzhak Breiter wrote a few things that are with us. So what we're going to learn is one of the things we're going to learn from Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter. So this sefer is called Sheirit Yitzhak. It's a collection of writings of Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter. No. So Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter was born 75, 76 years after Rav Nachman died. So Nachal was right though, because the Nachal was right, because the piece that we're learning is called Chalukei Nachal. This is Chalukei Nachal, but he wasn't in the time of Rabbi Nachman.
He wasn't?
No. He's born 76 years after Rabbi Nachman died.
Rabbi Nachman?
No, not that point. Yeah, maybe he exchanged Nachman. He exchanged that with Hasidim. Yeah. Right, and through that, he made contact Yafet. He made contact with them from Poland, and then he spread it to Poland. So this is Halukea Nahal. So Halukea Nahal is one of the things he wrote. Halukea Nahal, the other one that many people would have heard of, is the Seder Hayom, right? The daily Seder of a Breslava. You get a Fahatzot, you learn this, you learn that, right? So that's the other thing that, I don't know how famous it is, but the other thing that quoted in his name. He wrote this Seder Hayom for what it means to be a Hasid of Breslov. It's very Chazak. So Hashem, we should merit to even read it, to allow to fill it. Anyway, so what's the Chalukei Nachal?
Are you reading those?
Yeah. So you can. It's in. I've seen it. So the Seder Hayom. The Seder Hayom has been translated. It's in one of the introductory books on Breslov from the Breslov Research Institute, one of Rav Kramer's books. I saw it in there, I can't remember which one. So anyway, it's in there somewhere, but the rest of it I don't think has necessarily made it into translation yet. This piece called Chalukei Nachal is seven principles of Emunah, seven fundamental principles of Emunah, which Rav Yitzhak Breiter wrote down, which he learned out from Rav Nachman, from all the stuff, and he put it in and condensed it into seven principles of things that you need to know. This is the principles of Emunah. And you already know, I came across this because Moshe, Moshe has it in a little kutras. They put it in like a little Tikkun Klali book. They made it in a little Tikkun Klali book. And he got it given out to him.
Rabbi was wrote about this in his book.
No, it's different. This is different. So Rabbi Arash has three principles of Emunah, which are to know that Hashem exists, to know everything is good, and to know that it's all for a purpose. Right, so this, we're going to see a seven... We're going to see. You know, and you can see how they fit in together. So anyway, so he had it in a little contrast. So it was really good. And he has shared with me the first one or two of these principles. I thought, oh, that's cool, I want to get one of those. Anyway, so I went to the bookshop and asked him, do you have this little country? And he said, no, sorry, but I know what you mean, Halukei Nahal, it's in this book. So the book is just a collection of all those, of his other things that he wrote as well. I haven't yet got to the rest of it, at some point. But these are really good. Had what?
No,
just jumps in straight into number one.
Very well.
Oh, there's a Hakdama as well?
I think it's the number one.
Oh, okay. Yofi, Tov. So what does it say? So what are Rabbi Yitzhak Breiter's principles of Emunah? So let's see how far we get. So the first one. Yesod ha-yesodot, the principle of all principles, the ikar ha-ikarim, and the fundamental of all fundamentals. Ma shezachinu lish'ov mimumei ha-nachal, that which we managed to draw down, we managed to learn from mimei ha-nachal, the waters of the spring, meaning from Rabbi Nachman. Leida v'lohodea, to know and to that is known to you. Kikol Masha Ovel Al Adam, that everything that comes to a person, that happens to a person, Vein Bruchaniyot, Vein Begashmiyot, whether spiritually or Begashmiyot, physically, materially, B'meizid U'Beshogeg, whether it's deliberately or B'Shogeg, but accidentally, B'Onef U'Baratzon, B'Onef means by force, right, without a choice, B'Baratzon, by choice, Hakol b'gezeira toyotzehu. Everything is a gezeira of Hashem Yibarach. Everything is a decree of Hashem. Everything that happens to you, whether it appears to be accidental, or whether it appears to happen on purpose, whether it appears to come from a third person or not, whether it's a spiritual thing that happens to you or a material thing that happens to you, everything is a decree of Hashem. Okay? So far, shouldn't be such a chiddush. We're not falling off our chairs to know that. Everything from Hashem.
There's no
what? There's no, nothing else. No other option. Only has to be from Hashem.
No will.
No random smashing together of atoms creating stuff.
The part that we were struggling with me in the assignment.
Yeah.
No free will.
The really question is
the fear. So what's free will?
This whole thing. But Rav Arch explained that Shabbat is that the free will is after the fact, not during the Gula. It's the doubt that you're going to know. But you don't know Hashem after you did what you did, or after you think you did what you did, or after he did what he did for you, what you think you did. So that's the real, that's the fear, the knowledge.
Well, so what? Also, up till this point, Rav Yitzchak Breiter hasn't actually gone against free will. Because what he said, that everything that happens to you, everything that happens to you is external. Everything that happens to you, that comes to you, is all from Hashem. My free will is what I think about it. What I desire, what my desire is to do about it. Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? Am I happy about it? Am I not happy about it? That's my free will. Everything else is not me. It's Hashem. Even my free will is very limited, right? But on a pshat level, a person can also walk with the fact that with everything that happens to him, everything that happens to him includes what's happening internally. My emotions, my thoughts, my ideas, they're all given to me, right? They're all from Hashem too. If I now have, classic obviously, is my Yetzirah. My Yetzirah jumps in and starts giving me wild ideas and wild imaginations about real nonsense, right? Yofi, that's not me. I didn't create that. That's not me, that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is an angel from Hashem. An angel from Hashem comes in and gives me those thoughts. It's not me, I didn't create them by myself. I didn't sit there in the middle of davening while I was trying to and then suddenly I decided from my own free will, oh no, I think I'm going to give myself a test now by thinking about shiur, right? No, that test that popped into my brain, bing, that came from somewhere. Where did that come from? It came from Hashem. Hashem popped it into my mind. Hashem put ideas into my mind. In Yiddish,
he made you put only things in your mind when you have to wet it. So when you wet it clean, you have not to wet it.
Then Hashem gives it to me. And the same thing too. When I have a desire in my heart for something, Hashem says, very nice. The way a person wants to go, they lead him. Right? The Gemara says. So that's what you really want. Bing! Here you go. That's where you go. And the same thing in reality, not just in our mind. If a person wants to see something, Hashem gives him that sight. And if a person really doesn't want to see something, Hashem doesn't give him that sight. You can try it for yourself, and I know from my own personal experience. If I'm having it reached Hashem, I'm walking down the street, I don't want to see any nonsense. Hashem, please don't let me see any nonsense. Mamash, there's only guys on the street today. Amazing, like, there's only guys on the street. However, if I'm having a bad day and I'm looking at everything that moves, then believe it or not, today is the day that they forgot to give out clothing vouchers. Right? Whatever I'm is what Hashem's going to put in. It's going to put into the picture. It's the way a person wants to go. So true. The reason why I'm getting those thoughts in my head is because I'm not yet got a pure holy soul. For sure. It's still as a result of where I'm holding. But the fact that I have those thoughts and those ideas, I was about to say that in Yiddish, the word idea, I don't know any Yiddish, but someone taught me this, is Einfeld, apparently. Anyone speak Yiddish to confirm or deny that? Anyway, is it Einfeld? What does Einfeld mean? Einfeld. Apparently, from what I was told, you can correct me, is it means Einfeld, it fell in. It fell in. An idea is something that fell in. It was just... It's not from me. It fell in. It was put into my head. It just fell in. It was an idea. I didn't create the idea. Right? I didn't create. What do I have to create with? I've got several chemicals swimming around my body and smashing into each other. If you want to tell me, like a secular scientist, that these chemicals that are swimming around my brain came up with an idea, you're free. Then you've got to be more crazy than anything to think that inanimate objects can come up with ideas, because they can't. Only Hashem creates ideas, imagination, but they're from Hashem.
A
scientist can't create anything.
No, this is a scientist's argument. And then the rabbi says, okay, go make your own chemicals.
No, even if you give to a scientist all the chemicals he wants, and he can zap it with as much radiation that apparently was existing at the time as well. He's not going to get it to grow legs and hands and fly off. You cannot do that. You cannot turn chemicals, no matter what you do to them, shake them up in a test tube as much as you like, are going to create life. It doesn't work. Inanimate doesn't create animate. It doesn't work.
It
means it's in there, right? Because that's why I'm holding. That's the way he created me. When he created me at a certain level. He didn't create me as a tzaddik. Why? Because if he created me as a tzaddik, there wouldn't be any point being here, right? Well, Dafka created flaws with a job to do, right? And our job is to do that. So we have that position. Our job is then to work on that until we, B'ezrat Hashem, get a little bit better and better. But everything is coming from Hashem, which is a great answer to know that, because often we can get down and depressed on ourselves. Why? I'm no good, I'm bad, I'm this. And really, we're actually depressed because I've got a terrible Yetzer Hara. And one of the key things to learn, to work on, is to separate myself from the Yetzer Hara. Right? It's part of the bigger picture. I'm way off the subject now, but hey, who cares? Right? Part of the big picture of life is B-Raw, right? Eight Tov the Ra. Everything got mixed up. Before the tree of the Garden of Eden, there was evil in the world. It was called the snake. Snake existed. He was in the garden. He was evil. But what was the difference? The difference was he was an external, separate piece of evil. You could see him coming. He walked, actually. He didn't say that. He walked. But you could see him coming. Right? He was external. What was it? What was the problem with the tree? Ate Tovara. Well, that's because I'll say the problem was it mixed it all up. Tovara became mixed. And that's our job, is to separate. Our job is to separate the good from the bad. We do that all day long. It's a natural part of who we are. It's intrinsic. The fact that we breathe, the most basic thing in life, is separating good from bad. Why did Hashem put in oxygen amongst nitrogen, which is lethal? Right? Imagine you can't breathe nitrogen, you die. Right? You're not allowed to, right? But he puts it in there, and we have to breathe, we have to take it all in and expel the bad stuff, the CO2. Why do we have to expel CO2? Why can't we just breathe in what we need? No, we have to take in the mixture, take in what we want from it, and expel the nonsense. We do exactly the same with food. We take in the mixture, take what we need from it, and expel the nonsense. And so too with the world, right? It's all a template for the world. The world too, we take in everything, and there's a lot of nonsense out there. And we have to take the good and expel the nonsense. Right? Your feet. I don't even know where we got to from that. But let's continue with Rabbi Yitzhak Weiss. So Rabbi Yitzhak Weiss says, everything that comes to a person is from Hashem. All from Hashem. Our job, Rabbi Arish says, is just to be happy about it. Right? To be happy about it. And if we know it's from Hashem, then we can. If we think it's us, that's where we go shop, then we have a problem, because now I've got a Yetzer Hara, and I think it's me. I think I'm a bad person. That's a very long, not only dog chasing tail, it's one way down. It's a one way escalator downwards to think that I'm a bad person, I'm bad, look at me, I'm terrible.
But sometimes it's a very thin line. Let's say 2 weeks ago, before Shabbat,
yeah.
And after the conversation, it was around 7 o'clock, I feel very bad. I feel cold in my body. My wife, in our house, we have a doctor, we came and checked me that I was in a very dangerous situation. You have to go to the hospital. No, I'm not going to the hospital. Before Shabbat. I'm on Shabbat.
Okay.
Is that okay? I give you some medicine. So he comes to my wife. This moment, from 1 second to another second, my body gets hot. Very hot. So I run after them. And I said, okay, I feel COVID in the hospital. So this moment, I lost my conscience. For example, I maybe for 2 seconds. I wake up in the floor. So they come in the hospital. Now working the time, they've been Nikra finished with Shabbat time. I look at my Nikra and my Abish. So, but I feel very terrible. Yeah? I cannot stand this because my blood pressure was very down. So I was thinking to myself, why am I Hashem put me now in a situation? I don't know correct. So I lost my Nikra, my Abish. I know you can make up the next, but I cannot do in the same. This moment, I remember Rabbi Nachman. Halacha is very important to this moment, because sometimes you don't.
But I do not.
You can help it, but it's halacha, what can I do? So I remember once I was reading the story about Rabbi Nachman, he was in danger, he was in the ship. There was no time to pray all this morning. So he said, so only the first three, the last three. I remember this. I said, okay, I make my mitzvah in sitting. I have not the power to stand.
Uh-huh.
Now I know the time is close to over.
Uh-huh.
I make my mitzvah in sitting. Only the first three parts of the first time I tried to make all my amida, but then the doctor called me. I have to break my amida. So then I start again. I said, okay, make only the first three in the left. But I feel very terrible. Because I said, why should I put me in this situation? I feel evil. Ah, you're not good enough. And this and this. So,
so you managed to get past the first step. The first hurdle is knowing that it wasn't me. I'm not blaming myself. First step, without where you got to is, it's my fault, I should have taken better care of myself, I could have davened earlier, and I blame myself. So, for Hashem, you've got the next step is, it's not me, it's from Hashem. When you fall over unconscious, it's easier to say it's from Hashem, right, and not to blame yourself. But then the question is, everything Hashem done is for the good. I don't know why, yet. That's my test. My test is to still be happy with it. So no, it's his world. Hashem, this is your world, it's not mine. You know what you're doing. You don't want me to daven. It's your world, Hashem. Must be good. What can I say? I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge here.
I think it's actually amazing. It's good. You didn't lose your what's done, so
Yeah.
You wanted it, so the people that say, no, I'm sick. I'm not going to daven at all. I'm not going to even try. I don't care what Rabbi Nachman says right now. Tomorrow I'll daven. Very inspirational, because the entire time you didn't lose the last one, so you wanted to, but you took it.
I think that didn't want to twice shot three.
Yeah.
was like a film for 7 hours of the night. And then they say, oh, okay, we have the wires, we can go home. It was Shabbat. Because it was Shabbat, it was kind of work. So they have no place to stay. Well, in the kitchen, they stay for men, for women, for my wife, for me. But then in the kitchen, in the 7 hours and in the night, I was sitting in the chair and I did the thing. I said, why are you now in the hospital for 7 hours on Shabbat? That was the reason. Why has she put me now in this place? I saw many amazing things. I saw Jews, I saw Arabs. Okay, I mean, I'm not like it cannot look like it for this, but it looks like it for this. I was looking at the Jews in the face. I said, it looks like the sheep. Maybe the nice person. The Arabs, when you call the Arabs, they come, they have something, they like evil. 100%. And so the place is evil. But when the Jew came, he looked like the sheep. Yeah, very smart, very
tangible, the differentiating between people is part of our job. To see the difference between a Jew and someone who's not a Jew, in our day and age, it sounds politically incorrect, that's for shalom. To say such terrible words in the Shishiva, right? Because it's nonsense. It's a lie. It's a lie of the secular world that everyone's the same and everything's equal and everyone's right. The secular world take it so far that they say people are just monkeys, right? Everything's the same. We actually just came from monkeys, right? They take it to that extent. Our job is to say no. Our job is to see difference, to make those. Identify what's right and what's wrong. What's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
But the time goes with something and then you look. But Hashem, sometimes he puts you in the left corner. In the left corner, and you won't see what you do.
Yeah.
Let's say on Shabbat day, it was the first 30 when something eating in the room. You said, oh, what's he doing now? There's 8 hours. The doctor said, I can't go. My wife asked me, how you feel? I feel better. Let's go, we go home. So it was my biggest mistake when I did my life. So I walk home, the way usually when I walk, regular maybe in 1 hour. I start to walk, and there was like this wind, and it was not so hot. And I feel, okay, cool, better. And I went always break. Then from 1 second, it was so terrible. My body feels so terrible. I have no power, the time that I walk in the desert. Like I'm living the way I cannot walk. And then there came a park and I thought we may have to make a prayer. I made crazy things. I take all my stuff. My body gets so hot. I take off my shoes. I take only my shirt and my feet and I lie in the floor and in the grass and in the finger. For 1 hour and then the ants bite me, the flies can be terrible, I don't know what to do, we have to walk now. What can do? It's not 7 hours, shut off the food. What do we do now? I feel terrible, why should I come and take a taxi? Shabbat. Can you see me? Okay, I can hide my sister, my patient or my wife should be a problem. Can you see you? The Ruf Hashem. Yeah? That's what we do. I know I made a big mistake to fall out and out and then walk home. I like in the desert. The sun was so strong and then my body was so hot. I think maybe I lost my conscience again. I want to show my wife, I want to take a taxi to break the Shabbat. So I walk. Then nothing was going, you know, but it was very hard. Very hard. Of course, I feel like for the seminary room teacher there and close the next person they go then. Yeah, because that was really
everywhere and I think I don't know what
and I think why I should put me in this corner to choose now what I can do. Why shouldn't I take a taxi? I cannot take a taxi straight to Shabbat.
I think you might not know what you did, but when you get upstairs and you see what you did, a huge tikkun, not only for you, but for probably a lot of other people as well.
Believe me, I was was close to transfer. What made close to Potatim?
Hashem told you, Hashem put into your head that it was good to walk. That's what you're saying about these ideas. Right, you came out of the hospital and you, oh, I made the wrong, I shouldn't have done it. It was the worst decision. It was the worst decision for me to make. It wasn't your decision. Hashem put into your head, you know what? You can walk. You can walk. Why is that? It wasn't you. It wasn't you. Hashem said, for whatever reason, today when we were going to get a huge, humongous test, and he had to pick you out of the hospital and stick you on the way with that sun beating down.
But you were allowed to break the Shabbos because you were in danger.
Yeah, but I put
myself
in my danger.
The Yetzer Hara came and told you, no, you are going to break Shabbos.
You didn't put yourself in danger. Hashem put you in. You made the exact correct decision that you had that you knew at the time. That was the right decision. It wasn't the wrong decision. It was the best decision. Why? Because at the time, that was the decision. You're not stupid. You're not dumb. At the time, if you thought, let's walk, it's okay, that was the right thing, 100%. Hashem made you think that that was the right thing.
You have to show to shame.
You couldn't have been. If we put you back there now, if we put you back in that exact same situation with the same information, the same factors, and put you outside the hospital, you'd walk again.
No.
You would. Because at the time, it was the right thing. It's the right thing. Right. And that's all that matters. That's it. The gamma.
I did everything wrong.
We might understand that when we don't feel well.
Halacha, he's not talking about halacha, he's talking about what happened. Halacha, you're right. Halacha,
you can't take the question,
no? No. You're not allowed to break Shabbat for not feeling well. If it's the Korach Nefesh, you can do whatever you like. But if you're not feeling well, then you have to know what the difference is. That's all. If you're not feeling well, you can't break Shabbat for not feeling well. If it's the Korach Nefesh, sure. May I forgive
you?
If it was, that's it.
Were you in Pikuah Nefesh at that time?
In the time of the
way,
because I'm not sure.
The Yetzer Hara made you feel that he was fine, but you don't need to take a taxi and break Shabbos. Because he was in that religion. That's the Yetzer Hara.
You were only a person in that situation, though. I don't know how he felt, you don't know how he felt. We don't know how he felt.
Sure.
Before the world starts, Hashem finished everything.
Yeah.
He finished everything, created the last page of the world. That's it. And then when they finish, okay, we
finish. Good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we finished with this. Okay, we finished the world. Okay, we're going to start. Everything is finished. And he says that it's compared like a movie. Everyone thinks, and the actor, they think that the thing that is that they are can control that. But they cannot control the person who writes the tells the story, he knows how to control it. And it says sometimes when we are in that kind of situation in the movie, we say, oh, this. They're taking control that. The only one who can control that is the person who write the. You need to do it that. It's not your situation, it's the situation of the person.
Everything worked out perfectly in your back.
Okay. So let's
continue. I learned a lot.
Let's continue. Key. Sorry. I told you. Ki im hadam einenu ra'ui, because if a person is not fitting, v'lo zacha adayin, and he's not yet merited, lehitkarev ala kadusha, to get close to kadusha, vel hamitzvah lasotata, or to a certain mitzvah to do it, the person's not yet fitting, or has not yet merited it. I'm going to see what that means in a minute. To get close to kadusha, or to a certain mitzvah that he wants to do. Mabalbalim oto mina shamayim mela. They confuse him from shamayim about it. They confuse him so that he cannot get closer to kedusha, so that he cannot stay in the hospital. They confuse him from shamayim. to make him think that he can walk home. They confuse him, right? Not to do the mitzvah. Ki, we'll come on to it, he'll explain a bit more. Ki nitgalgelet b'toch mashvotav, because there is nitgalgelet rolled into b'toch mashvotav, inside his thoughts. Into your thoughts is where they put the ideas, the confusion. Machshavam avalbelet kazot. They put into your thoughts a confusing thought like this. Asher eina melicha oto la'asot hadavar shem kedusha, which does not let the person do the thing in kedusha, do the holy thing. Af she'atzal la'asot, even though he wants to do it, even though a person wants to do it, even though I have free will, I want to do a mitzvah. Rav Yitzhak Breit has explained to us that you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. Shemayim doesn't let you do the mitzvah until Shemayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu, says you're ready. When he says you're ready, you can do it. And until then, you can jump up and down all you like, but it's not going to help. And it doesn't matter what the mitzvah is. It doesn't matter what the Kedusha is. I want to be holy. I want to be a tzaddik. That's why I'm sitting here. That's why I'm learning Torah. That's why we're all here. Right? We want to guard our eyes. We want to be holy. We want to learn Torah. Plenty of mitzvahs we want to do. And yet, I'm trying. I'm falling. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. What's the danger? It must be, that's just who I am. It must be because I'm evil. It must be because I've done bad things in my life and Hashem doesn't want me. It must be because my neshama is not at the level that I can learn Torah, really, or I'm not holy enough to guard my eyes. That's it. No. None of that is true. You are holy enough to guard your eyes. You do have a neshama that is capable of learning the whole Torah. You have everything you need to fulfill every aspect of Torah and Kedusha that exist. Everything you can have. There's nothing that's not available to you. The reason why I'm not there yet is only one thing. Hashem hasn't let me. Well, two things. If I have ratzon, if I don't want it, that's the other reason why it's not happening. But even if I want it, the reason it's not yet happening is because Hashem has said it's not yet ready. Not the time. The whole there and all of this, all of this reason is not because Hashem wants to take revenge on you, chas v'shalom. Not because Hashem is being mean to you and he's not letting you get close to Torah, to Kedusha, because he's being mean or cruel or chas v'shalom, he's trying to punish you. No. Ki im barachamav yibarach, it's only from his mercy. It's purely mercy. Hamarachem al komatav. Hashem is merciful on all of his creations. Yodea ve'ed dayan emet. He's a dayan emet. He's a true judge. Right? The reason why Hashem, he doesn't go into it further here, but the reason why Hashem's not yet letting us get there is because Hashem knows best what's best for us. If I let you get there now, it's going to ruin you. Going to ruin you. It's not good. Even though I might think I know better, truth is I don't know better than the creator of the world. I might think I do. Hashem, look, trust me. It would be really useful. I know what you're thinking, but give me Shmirat and I Gabor right now, and I'll be a holy tzaddik, and it will be great. Right? I can learn better. Let me learn 5 hours straight in a clip. Let me get up for Chatzot. What's wrong with that? It's what you want. I think I know better. Truth is, I don't. He knows better. He can see more than me. Baruch Hashem. He knows what's going to be. He knows that if he allows me to get up for Chatzot every night, that I'm going to become the most arrogant Breslava in my neighborhood. I get up for Chatzot and you don't. It's going to just destroy me. I'm going to be terrible. I'm going to be Mr. Arrogant. I'm going to think I know it all. Right? It's going to kill me. I don't have the vessels yet. I don't have the vessels yet to hold such a holy gift. To really appreciate what it means. To forget about Chatzot and to actually really mourn the Beit HaMikdash. Huge. How many people in Am Yisrael can do that? Not many. It's a huge gift, and it's not something that I can just take on for free. I'm going to as if it was nothing. No, I have to work up to it. I have to build up to it. I have a vessel that can hold that holy Kedusha, to experience what the Kedusha is in that, and to not ruin it, not ruin me. So it's for that reason, for those reasons. However, so what's the answer? The answer is I don't yet have the vessel, right? Which is why we do Hizbo Dut, which is why we do prayer. Prayer creates a vessel. Every word of prayer makes a bigger vessel. Currently my vessel looks like this. If I want my vessel to grow to something a bit bigger, then it can hold a bit more Kedusha. And if it wants to get bigger, right? Currently this is not enough to hold Daf Yomi. This is enough to hold stuff, learning a little bit of Gemara 45 minutes a day from sitting in a class. That's how much my vessel can hold. I don't have a Daf Yomi vessel yet. I want to get a Daf Yomi vessel, so I need to work on prayer. Hashem, I really want to do Daf Yomi, really want to do it. And then I can build a vessel, and Hashem says, fine, now you're ready, go for it, you're off, you succeed. And the same with anything else that I want, anything else. Same true with the material world as well. Material world is just the same as physical world. Hashem, I really need good parnasa, I really want a new car, I want a new house, I want a wife, I want whatever it is, kids. I don't have the vessels yet, maybe. To appreciate it, to deal with it, to not let it ruin me, to not ruin it, to not waste it. Right? The person doesn't have the vessels. I had a client, I'm a lawyer. Someone's got to do a job. I had a client who sold a painting. He spent some time in Hong Kong a few years back, and he was into art. He bought a 3-piece of art. He paid $5,000 for it. Piece of Chinese art. He sold it in Sotheby's. When did he sell it? 4 years ago, maybe. Sold it in Sotheby's 4 years ago for billionaire there, £2.7 million. It's about $4 million. It was the highest selling piece of Chinese art that somebody's ever sold in a painting. Right, I don't know if they sold other things, but in a painting. Anyway, Yoffi, that money lasted with him approximately 6 months. Within 6 months, it had gone. And not only had it gone, he was now facing bankruptcy.
And he's still alive.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. He's a Jew. Nice guy. He's a good friend of mine. Very close. Right? Also a client, also a friend. But he didn't have the vessels to hold that sort of money. And then it slipped through his fingers. Happened to slip through his fingers because Tov, Yetzer Hara got him. Right? So Yetzer Hara told him that you know what? The tax is on $2.7 billion. The tax on that is 500,000-600,000. It's a lot of tax to pay in one hit. Tov, you just got to sit back. You did what you did. Right? He didn't want to lose a third of the money on tax. At least it was going to be about that much. So what did he do? So Tov, I've got this money. I'll just invest a little bit here and there. Do a few stocks and shares on the currency market. And I'll make up the amount of money that I need to pay the tax. And what does Hashem do? The way a person wants to go, they lead him. And this always happens. He gambled a little bit, he made packets. Within the first 3 days, he made 40 grand, £40,000. The next few days later, he made 120, 150. This is it, this is easy money. He struggled all his life until then. Right, Mamash, he struggled making it, right? He found an easy way. Hashem let him. 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, he's now in debt. To the brokerage, million and a half, everything just went faster, gone, disappeared. The overall thing is he didn't have a vessel to hold it. It wasn't it, it just went, wasted. after that, Tzvi Neder, we're talking about going to the toilet, and you don't know who he is. He went to what they call recovery. He had a crash. Crashed, he hated himself. I just destroyed my life. He was in touch with Hashem. We spoke a lot about Hashem. He knew that Hashem had given him a gift, and he thought he just wasted it, squandered it all, and now he's bankrupt. Killed him. It didn't kill himself. He inside, he went into recovery. That's like this, right, program where you, for alcoholics and all, right? Amash couldn't live with himself. Baruch Hashem, he came out the other side, taught him that recovery is all about learning about Hashem. Interestingly, we had a lot of conversations about it. It's very, very much based on teachings of Rav Lachman.
Yeah. What I find amazing is that he's still alive.
Yeah.
Because there's such a high suicide rate with that.
That's fine. But why? He blamed himself, and we saw the principle. He didn't have a vessel for it. So it was actually a gift. So all of those of us who are saying, Hashem, just let me win the lottery. Just let, 1 or 2 million, and then I'll sit back, I'll learn Torah every day, and everything will be good. I won't have to have the stress and worry about panasa, and everything will be good. It sounds good, but if it really was good, Hashem would have given it to us. It's not good for us. It's not helpful. It's not going to take us to the place where we think it's going to take us. Because Hashem knows better. Hashem knows that whether it's in Gashmiut or in Ruchniut, that I'm not the reason he hasn't given it to me is not right. It's not going to help me right now. Yeah, but I still want it. Yossi, it's good that you want it. It's good to want a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with wanting a lot of money, right? Rebbe was hugely rich, right? Rav Nachman says that there are places in Torah that you can only get to once you have a lot of money. So having money itself is actually a very yossi. Have that desire. Continue with it. Have the desire to learn all of Shat and to learn all of Poskim to get outside Chatzot. That's all good. That desire builds the vessel that I'll be able to use it. But in order to use it properly, I need to build a vessel for it.
Mm-hmm. Most important thing is you appreciate what you have. And sometimes you think you lack something. You say, I have only 5,000 shekels a month, I want 7,000. So sometimes a shekel play in another way. You take it from the 5,000, 3,000, 2,000, then you have no only now 3,000. Then you could say that you have before 5,000.
Right.
So the first thing you have to learn is appreciate what you
have. Appreciate what you have.
Then look what
right.
in the future.
Right.
Sometimes we not look what we have. We miss it only when we lose it. Then we appreciate what we have.
That's
one. Is it personal or in material?
And when we want these things that we can't yet have, right? Well, the things in Ruchniyot, the things in Gashmiut that we want that we can't have. So how do we get them? So we get them through Ratzon, through desire, through building a vessel. Well, what does that mean in practice? Practice, that means, Tachlit means Hisbodedut. In Hisbodedut, I pray for them. How does that help? How does that help build the vessel? Because it clarifies for me, for a start, on a very simple level, it clarifies for me whether I actually need it. What am I actually going to do with it? Whether it's going to be good for me. It's very hard to do Hisbodedut along the lines of Hashem, give me a Ferrari. Hashem, give me a Ferrari. Hashem, give me a Ferrari. If I actually do, I can't go past that. Right, that's the limit. Because that's the limit of the truth. I just want a Ferrari. Why? Alright, I don't really need a Ferrari. A car. Give me a car, Hashem. I don't need a Ferrari. A car. It doesn't even have to be you. Tell you the truth, it doesn't have to be you. It just needs to get me from A to B. It has to work. Why do I need a car? Well, I need it to take the kids to GAN. I need it for this. I now clarify why I actually need the car. I built a vessel for it. And it's no longer, I want it because it's an imagination. I'm going to look good. I'm going to drive down the street. It's going to be shiny. The shtuyot. I've got rid of the nonsense. I actually say what I actually need. Now, if it's true that I actually need a car, and I need it for this, and it's going to be helpful because it's going to save me time, it's going to be good, and I've clarified that I'm not going to get arrogant Hashem, because I won't buy a brand new one and I won't buy a shiny red one. I'm just going to buy a very simple Pashut one. So it's not going to damage me. And I've clarified all that through my Hebodizot. You see, Hashem is then going to be much more able to give it to me. Because now it's not going to damage me, and now I've clarified exactly what I need it. And it came through building a vessel that can take it. And similarly with money, if I want Parnassah, what am I going to do with it? If I'm praying for 20,000 shekels a month, do I really need that? Am I actually going to do anything with it? In reality, if I had 20,000 shekels a month, at least 5,000 of it, at least, is going to get blown on shtuyot and nonsense. I'm going to go out and eat in restaurants food that's not good for me. I'm going to buy flashy clothes that are going to give me gavah. Right? If I actually go into it, and the same even true on the gashmiyat, on the ruchniyat level, those things that I'm not yet achieving, why haven't I achieved them yet? Because I haven't actually clarified to myself why I actually want them. Do I really want them? Right? Well, exactly what Rabbi Ozer Berman was saying. Do I really want to learn? Yeah, I want to learn Hashem, I want to learn all day. No, I don't. I want to look like I learn all day. I want to be able to tell my friends I learn all day. I want to be able to tell my mum I learned all day. I want to be able to tell myself that I learned all day to make myself feel better, that I'm not wasting my life. Right? But I don't actually really want to learn for Lishma, for Hashem's sake, because I love the learning. Not really. That's why I'm not learning all day. It's true. So actually, I haven't clarified my ratzon. But nothing says nothing stands in the way of ratzon. When I clarify my real ratzon, I'll see that exactly where I am now is exactly what I want. It's exactly where I'm holding. My whole life looks exactly how it does, because that's exactly what I really want. If I clarify my true intention, my true ratzon, it looks exactly like what I have. And I can't complain to no one about nothing. Because the things that I lack are the things that I don't actually want. And I might tell the world that I want them, and I might even tell myself I want them. But the truth is, according to the laws of spirituality, nothing stands in the way of ratzon. If I had a real ratzon, that's what I would have got, that's what Hashem would give me. Kilu, on the pshat level, that's what I would go out and get. Right? If I really wanted a coffee now, I'm going to go and get it. On a pshat level. If I really wanted to get married now, I'd go out and take a wife. I'd do it today, I'd do it this afternoon. There's no physical thing that's holding me back today from getting married. You need to find someone. I'll make a few calls, find some. Sorry. Today we could do it. It could be done, these things, right? What's the reason I'm not getting married this afternoon? Well, I don't want him. He wants to get married this afternoon, I want him. Right? And the same is everything. My ratzon is not yet there. When it's really there, everything's going to be open. Nothing's going to stand in my way. Right? We know that's true. If I want to get up for Chatzot tonight, I've never got up for Chatzot in my life today. Right? But I'm going to do it tonight. Can I do it? For sure, if I have the ratzon. And if somebody pays me enough money to give me that ratzon. So now I've got the ratzon to do it, so I'm going to do it. Because I've got a ratzon. It's not to do the thing, but it's a ratzon to get the money. But whatever, it's a ratzon. Whatever ratzon I have, right? If I pay Yosef, I know how much it will take. 20 million to get married this afternoon. I know, 100 million, whatever. I give, right? To get married this afternoon. Maybe, fine. I don't know, see what it works. But whatever it is, right? Everyone has, right? It's just a question of ratzon. Just a question of ratzon. Oh, and that's what his body does is me'ala, above everything, for many reasons. But one of the reasons is, it helps us create our ratzon for holy good things. To sit there with ourselves, what is my ratzon? The starting point for his body does, right? Rav Lazer Brody always says, right? Not always says, but often says, that a person who's trying to get somewhere in life, you can't get anywhere if you don't know where you are now. Because you don't know which direction to go. If I have no clue where I am now, if I'm in Haifa and I want to go to Jerusalem, but I don't know I'm in Haifa, I can never get to Jerusalem, so I don't know which direction to go to. I might start off. I need to know where I am now. What's that mean? Same is true in exactly what we're talking about. If I want to get somewhere in life, ruchniyat, gashmiyat, whatever, I need to know where I'm holding now. What is my real truth? not where I think I'm holding. Yeah, I'm where I really am holding. And that's hard work. That's even harder work than actually getting to it, right? To clarify where I actually am, Rav Erez Moshe Dalon, when he talks about his Bodhidut, he has a sheet of his Bodhidut, talks a lot about it, but one of the sheets that he talks about is the person needs to clarify where they're holding right now, right? When I sit there in front of Hashem, what's going on with me right now? Hashem, where am I right now? Right now, what am I feeling? To be in touch with my feelings. Right now I'm angry, right now I'm sad, right now I'm confused, right now I don't know what to do with myself, I'm lost. I need to clarify where I really am in order to then move somewhere. Because otherwise, I can't move, I'm lying, I'm coming from the wrong place. I have a friend in London who is about my age, 40-ish, not married yet. More than that, ish. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. He's not married. And he's 40, 41. And we have these conversations though. He doesn't go on that many dates. He kind of gave up a long time ago, really looking. He goes here and there. He met someone. He didn't meet someone. This one's interesting to him. That one's not interesting. Occasionally, so we catch up. I try and give him advice, chizuk. About 6 months ago, we had a conversation, and Hashem put a light bulb on for me. And I told this friend, I said, you know what? You know where you're going wrong? You don't want to get married. You don't want to get married, and you're not admitting it. So as soon as you admit to yourself that you don't want to get married, then things can move. Now you're just pretending you do. And because you're pretending you do, you have to find excuses and reasons for everyone why they're not right. This one's too big, this one's too small, this one has got a different hashkafa on life, this one's not so religious, this one is too religious. Everyone's got a different problem. But the real reason is you don't want to get married. And until you accept that fact, it's going to continue, because now the problem is always with them. It's not the right one. If someone gives me the right girl, I'll be married today. I don't mind, I really want to get married. I'm just looking for the right one. And it's nonsense. It's a lie. It's a sheker. It's not true. There never can be the right one, because that's not the problem. I'm not dealing with the problem. I'm dealing with a phantom problem that's a red herring. Why? Because I didn't clarify in myself what's really the truth. The truth in me is I don't want to get married. I don't want to. Why? So I need to think about that. Why? Good, valid reasons. In his case, it's because his parents got divorced, and he blamed his mum for the divorce, that she was a real not nice person to the father, and now he hates women. He thinks all women are going to be like his mum, and why am I going to put myself through hell just like she put my father through hell? So I'm scared of women, I don't like women, whatever you want to call it. But that's where he's coming from, right? That's his true reality. Until he accepts that as his true reality, he can never move from there. He can never deal with that and cure that. Once I accept it, I can make it go away. I can deal with it, I can acknowledge it. Half the problem is just acknowledging, right? And then the thing disappears. It's like a big Yates Sahara that hides from the corner. As long as he's hiding in the corner in the dark, he's always going to stay there. He's never going to move, and he's always going to scare me. And I can never do anything about him. Once I shine the light on him and say, there you are, and describe exactly my Yates Sahara to the nth degree, he's got nowhere left to hide. He's gone, he's disappeared. It was all an imagination. It's an imagination. If I say, I'm a grown man of 40, 41 years old, and I say, and I admit to myself out loud in his Buddhism, the reason I'm not getting married is because I'm scared of women. That's a bit dark. Right, I'm scared. Sure. What nonsense. But until I admit it and said it out loud to myself, it had this huge power, because it was something that was hidden within me, in the darkness, that I can't go near. It was in a box that was closed that said, don't open here. And I never opened the box, and therefore I can never go near it. And therefore it had power over me my whole life. What's my job? My job is to lift the lid. And let all those demons, they're not really demons, out, is to admit the truth. This is who I am. This is where I'm holding. I really believe that if I got married, a woman would do to me what my mother did to my father. Is that really true? Okay, maybe it's not true. I can now start challenging it. Actually, maybe that's not really true. Once it's out in the open, I can make it disappear. Hashem can give it. I can pray on it. Hashem, help me. Help me take away. I believe this. I'm scared of it. It's stopping me. And I can pray in truth. If I'm not asking Hashem for the right thing, Hashem, send me the right wife. If I'm praying, Hashem, send me the right wife, Hashem is fulfilling that every day. She's the right one. This is the right one. This is the right one. They're all right. It's me that was wrong. But any of them were perfect. I just asked the wrong question. I was asking for the wrong thing. Send me the one that's right for me. Yeah, here you go. And he's doing it time and time again, but I'm missing the wrong question. The question is, Hashem, maybe we not be scared to get married. Or whatever the true question is. Then you can answer that question. Fine, let's do it. Then you get that question. Yuffie. Now we're moving. Now we're really moving. Sorry? Tell them, can ask them, what am I doing? And then you get them one, and that's it, you're right, you're right. How do I know? How do I
know?
If you stand under the chuppah, yeah. If you just stand under the chuppah. No, there's no before. It's in your lot. Because if you decide to get married and you're under the chuppah, she was the right one. It doesn't matter if you had 5 dates or 200 dates. Or 1 date, or no date. If you stood under the chuppah, she is the right one. It's a de facto confirmation. I'm not the one confirming it by having 10 dates or 20 dates. I'm giving it the green light. Who says I'm the one that gives it the green light? Hashem gives it the green light when I stand under the chuppah. That's the stamp of approval. It's not my stamp of approval.
Some people, one time, some people, two times, some people, three times.
For what?
It's big.
No. For what purpose?
For what? For each person to them. Why they urge their grace and help them build care.
No.
Help them,
the way a person wants to go, they lead him.
Huh?
The way a person wants to go, they lead him. Meaning, if I tell myself I need 200 dates, Hashem says, fine, have 200 dates. If I tell myself, let's have 1 date, Hashem, we have 1 date. We have guys in our class that got married very quickly. They're very happy. And not even in our class, we have 2,000 years of our history where they didn't have 20 dates either, and all those were very happy. The only people in the world today who are not happy are the ones who had too many dates. Right? No one. The date does not make the marriage. Right? Anyone who, Bezat Hashem, is coming to the Gond and Peace class is going to learn that the dates do not make the marriage.
Thank you, when
What Rabbi Yosef is saying is that a person needs to have Yishuv Hadat, that this is the right for him. Like if he got dates.
No, if
it's 100% clear,
then
it's not the right person. There's no question. I give up. I stop seeing her immediately. It's not the right person. But if it's simply a question, I'm not sure. The truth is, I'm not sure. I don't know. How can I know? I don't know everything about them. And even if I did know everything about them, I don't even know it's a lie, because I can't. I don't even know everything about me. Right? I don't even know myself, never mind knowing another person. And knowing another person from 1 date, 2 dates, 20 dates, 200 days. It's never going to be. I'm never going to get that. It's called, what do you mean sometimes? How many times have you been married?
No.
Exactly,
date,
it's not.
When you go out,
if it's clear that it's not happening, yes, fair. But we're not talking about those times. we're talking about saying, well, maybe this, maybe. That's it. And it's all the other babies which stop a person.
But they are confused sometimes. They put you in the mind that you probably you are the one that is not want to get married, and the other one is fine, and you are not. And they put you in the mind that you don't want to get married when you want. Sometimes you are also,
Nahon. So why? Because, like Rabbi Rubin said, we get in our mind what's in our heart, right? Meaning, if I'm not yet convinced that I want to get married, for example, then I'm going to have that as my reality.
How could I not be convinced if it's one of the thing that we want to do is to a boo and get married and have children.
I still don't want to do it. I'll give you the proof. The proof is why I still don't want to do it. Is because I also know that it's a halakha, it's the law, it's Hashem's will, it's Hashem's desire, but I don't look at women. And you know what? I still do. Because I still want to look at women. Even though Hashem told me not to do it. Even though I agree with you 100%. Why? Because it's not yet in here. So even though I agree with it, I agree that Hashem wants me to do it, inside, I'm not there yet. If I was there yet, I will do everything in my power to make it happen. And Hashem says, go for it. Enjoy it. But it's the whole.
What you think you like a topic when you think, oh, I can keep my eyes. Yeah? You guys know, this is more good, nothing more.
Right, and the same thing is true.
Yeah,
right. So yeah. the reason why I haven't got Shemirah Tanayim either is because I'm not ready for that yet either. That's a big gift. It's a huge gift. Right? It's the biggest, right? It's the biggest thing in the world. Right? It's more than the whole of Shas to have
my father told me when I made this question, my father told me something very interesting. He told me, we sometimes want to feel that click that, oh, my soul feel that she is my other part of the soul, and if I don't feel that, she is not. But my father told me that things happen when the person training his soul to be prepared. But sometimes we prepare more the body, the eye, to be prepared to that, and we cannot feel when the soul feels the other side. And we always say, no, because it's too fat, no, because it's too small, no, because it's too short, because you're training your eyes, you're training to, why do you want to feel the connection with the soul?
Yes,
you're training your eyes.
Wonderful mm-hmm. advice. The truth is, if you want to know exactly the truth is if we really wanted to see if we connected to the person, we would go on a date with our eyes closed. Go on a date with the eyes closed and just talk and just, do I connect? How does this work? Example is friend of mine who I managed to shidduch off. How did I shidduch him off? Right? Through Hashem. I gave him the phone number of someone. He said he spoke to the girl, an hour and a half on the phone in the first phone call. And that was it. He was sold. An hour and a half in the first phone. He never even got to see her. But he knew from that, right? Because the eyes didn't get in the way and muddy the picture. She's too short, she's too fat, she's too thin. They connected. We spoke for an hour and a half and we never even knew each other. Like that's the connection we're talking. That's the real stuff. But we have a physicality. Gets in the way, makes me confused.
This is my wife. We meet the first two times. After the first two times, I try to assure my question. I do nothing. The physics. No connection. But this is of course the first two times because we have good talk, very deep talk. Yeah? The first time maybe you very fitted attraction, you know when only the outside. So you can be very confused. Yeah? This is my wife, an empty person. Yeah? You see only when you inside, the soul.
first time, I mean, I was with my wife together. First time, we had a connection, very deep. But I feel nothing. It's physical side. When I pray, when the third time, the fourth time, I should go there. After the fourth time, it's okay.
Right. And the truth is, we can't really connect. We can't really connect on a soul level until we're married. When we're married, we get joined. Our neshamas become joined. Before we're married, your neshama, her neshama. Hashem can give an aspect, a taste. We can hope, but we're actually only going to connect afterwards. Only afterwards are we going to connect, really.
I think it helps to erase everything that you saw in the past. Now in this question, you have your stone in the back, your background. You gotta deal with girls that never in your life you thought you were needed. And we just got here and you used to introduce me back here. They were really fat. No, they were really ugly because my manner of thinking that I have to be a woman. But I was what I saw was the model.
Okay. Should we do it more, or do you wanna stop now? Should we take a break? No, yeah.
I'm more confused than I used to be before.
Damn it,
second. The last date I was on, I was being attacked for being breathless.
Okay, it's not an ideal. It's not an ideal.
For some reason, after attacking me the first date for being breathless, you wanted to go again.
The truth is, those that attack, it's because there's something there. She could turn out to be the biggest wrestler. Why? Why is she fighting it? Why is she fighting it? Because there's a reason. There's something inside that I need to. Because I feel that.
Yeah, but then where does it go?
Because otherwise, what's the question? If you were a let's say you were a Belzer Hossid. No one's going to argue that, you can't believe you're a Belzer. Those Belzers, they daven and they learn Torah and they... Right? It's only when there's something powerful there that's trying to get to grips with.
That was sort of my deal that I made after it.
Right.
I figured that it was for me more of a test sometimes. It's not necessarily to be married to the person, to see how much you're devoted to your new Dara. How much will you hold to this beautiful girl who wants to go out with you? She wants to go out with you again, but she just doesn't like that one little thing, which is your entire life, for my case. Right. So, like I said, how much, will you put it in the back end for the sake of getting married, or will you keep it on the front end and say, this is my life, this is the way I want to build a house, on these principles of Rabinathan, of artists, and following these things?
Uh-huh. To avoid that would be great. Just to give you a final story, and then we'll close.
Last time my wife sat over my dead body, she never goes to kibbutz. Huh? She never went to kibbutz for 10 years.
Okay. Right. The Gemara teaches that the
never says never.
The heart of a woman, the mind of a woman, is not is not fixed. It can be.
No, you can never say never.
So
don't say something because it's so. I don't want to be confused. Now I'm dressed.
Okay, I
think
a guy called Avrami Cohen. Tom, I've forgotten his first name now. We'll call him Avrami because I've forgotten his first name. Anyway, he used to be in the Dov Divan unit of he's an amazing guy and he's an amazing story, he's got an amazing life. He used to be in the Dov Divan unit of the Israeli army. Dov Divan unit are those that go undercover into the Arab territories and take out people that have no right being in this world.
Nice.
That's their job. And they dress up as Arabs, they know Arabic, and they scope out, and they make people disappear. That's their job. They're like the hardest of the hard, none of this gets reported in Haaretz or Eretz Yisrael. Right? This just happened. Anyway, it's called the Dov Divan unit. Right? And he was a commander in the Dov Divan unit. Hazak individual. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, he had a very interesting life. So he made teshuva. He's now a Brezhava. He was very chazak when he was about Shuva. he's amazing story. I could fill you all day with stories, but one of the stories that Kashul was talking about is when he wanted to get married, right? He was a bachor in yeshiva, started learning in yeshiva, and everyone was trying to set him on dates. He was a very good looking guy. After he left the army, he did a stint as a model. Male model. This was back in the 80s, the early 80s, before in the age of the supermodel. And Hashem took him. Right? He was spotted in the gym. Someone said to him in the gym in Israel. He was working out in the gym. Someone said to him, "You ever thought of modeling?" And he's like, "Modeling? Why?" So anyway, 3 weeks later, he was on the plane to the US, and he was doing TV commercials for Coca-Cola. Parachuted into the top flight. He then did the catwalk in across Europe, right, with all the supermodels. He was like up there. Then made teshuva after he said he got to the lowest place possible in the world. He had all the money in the world, right? He was being paid ridiculous amounts of money for an afternoon's catwalk, like $50,000 to walk 10 minutes down up and down, $50,000, right, for nothing. Women, drugs, the lot. It's like in the worst place in the world. And you realize that something's wrong here. Something is mamash wrong here. So anyway, he's a smart guy, very smart guy. He learned, he went to find God. He learned, he said he went through the bookshop. He went through the spirituality section of the bookshop. Went everything from everywhere. Didn't find it. Eventually he got talking to a guru of some culture, and it was explaining to him he's looking for this and he didn't find it. And the guy said, didn't know he was Jewish. The guy said to him, "What you're looking for, you're probably going to find in what's called Jewish Kabbalah. They have what you're looking for. They have understanding and depth and reason and spirituality. It's all in there. Go look in there." And that was the first time it ever crossed his mind to maybe look at, oh, Jewish stuff. So anyway, he went and bought some books initially on Kabbalah, because that was his therapy. So he's now from years with beautiful children. Anyway, so how did he get married? So he's in yeshiva, and everyone's trying to set him up. Wonderful guy, right? Well, much wonderful guy. Now he gives lectures for Arachim and for other people. Takes trips. He works with Leva Devarim, with Rav Erez, taking trips to Uman. Well, I met him. So anyway, people there, he's like, "No, I'm not interested. Not interested. Not interested." Anyway, he's in the Beit Midrash one evening, and all the guys, one of the guys is getting married, Yeah, one at the bottom end. And I say, come, we're going to where it is, be at Murray, to the hooper. He's like, no, I'm staying, I'm learning. Say, ah, come, it's a hooper, come, you'll meet someone. So he said, no, I'm not that. He said, come, you'll meet someone. He said, I'm not coming. He said, Hashem knows where to find me. This is where I am. Hashem knows exactly where to find me. He can send me a woman. He's a president of a hostage, you know, any which way. He can send me one. I'm staying here. They all, see you later, you're lost. They all went to the wedding. He's pretty much the only guy left in the baby dress. Everyone, it was like a wedding for one of the apartments, so everybody was gone. He was like the only guy left in there. He's there by himself studying that evening. The phone rings on the wall of the Beit Midrash. He ignores it. Rings again. Ignores it. Goes and picks it up. Yes. Yes. No, he's not here. No. Who are you? Yes. It was the sister of one of the Bacharim, wanting to get hold of her brother. Anyway, they spoke 15, 20 minutes. He said he knew at that point that this woman must be from Hashem, direct to him on this prayer. He basically checked her out in that phone call, decided that she was the one that I was going to get married to on that call. On that call, because it was Min Hashemah. It was like, so Hashem's going to send me. I told the guys Hashem's going to send me right here, and that's it. The phone rings. The woman, checked it. Yeah, she fitted. Basically, she was, you know, the sister of one of the Bacharim. She's part of the Kilo the Kilo. She's fit it, right age, right everything. Yeah, fine. Okay, let's meet. Fine. He basically arranged it, meet. That was it. Done. Married. May we all be so successful in our prayers. Okay, we are learning from Rav Arish's book, Gan HaShalom. We're in the first chapter on page 22 in the Hebrew version. Rav Arish is, at the beginning of the book, explaining why it is the person needs to get married. In doing so, he brings us two stories. Yesterday we read the first story. The story was, in Rav Arish's words, quite exaggerated, but it was still necessary in order to teach us, kind of learn from it. It doesn't have to represent exactly who we are, but for sure we can find ourselves in that story. So yesterday we learned the story about the Holy Parosh that thought he was doing ever so well in his Avodat Hashem by being in his quiet corner in the Beit HaMidrash and not hurting anyone and just focusing on his Avodat Hashem that way. We learned that he missed the boat. He missed the boat entirely because he didn't fulfill the Torah and he didn't work on his Midot because he never got married. If he had got married, he would have realized how far away he was, but because he didn't, he never realized how much work there was still left to do. That was the story of the Holy Parosh. Rav Arish now brings us story number two. Story number two is called, in Hebrew it's called Hagaon Ha'adir Amud HaChesed Shlita. Right, which is a bit of a mouthful, but what was Rav Arish teaching us? Anyone who is a holy Gaon needs to have a really big title. And no more so than our individual here, who's called Hagaon. Hagaon Ha'adir, the amazing Gaon. The amazing Gaon is a genius. The amazing genius. Amud HaChesed, the pillar of Chesed, Shlita. So let's see what Rav Arish tells us about this individual. Va'ata navir tziporo shel hagaon ha'adir amud ha'chesed shlita. Now, says Rav Arish, I'm going to bring you the story of, I'm going to keep it in Hebrew because it's a bit of a mouthful in English. It's a mouthful in Hebrew, but it's even more in English. Of the gaon ha'adir amud ha'chesed shlita. It sounds better in Hebrew. Hagaon ha'adir amud ha'chesed shlita Techalet Chayav Kiyered Kishoni. He began his life as a talented child. Mechonan b'midot tovot u'bahavana chayfa. He had good midot, very nice good midot, and a very sharp understanding. Kishu gadal his parsem b'irok ilui. When he grew up, he was famous in his town, in his city, as a genius. והו זכה להתחתן עם אישה ממשפחה מיוחדת. He merited to marry a woman from a very respectable family. הגאון הדעה חסד שליטה ניצל את כישרונותיו על צד הטוב ביותר. He used his talents in the very best way. הוא עסק בלימוד תורה והתמדה. He busied himself in Torah continuously. Af natan mizmano lekeruv rochokim. Right, he gave his time to bring to do kiruv. Velemasiyat shiurei Torah lekahal, and to give over shiurim to the community. Gam betchum achete lot aman hagaon haadir amud hachesed shlita et yadob betzalachet. Even in the area of chesed, he wasn't. He wasn't stingy. He was actually very, very, very giving. Who needs selet mamado ve'kesharav al menat lahakim gemach gadol? He used his presence and his connections to create a very large gemach. Shemimenu nehenu aniyeiro, that from it benefited the poor people of this city. Va'afra bim shebau mimakomot rochokim. And even lots of people came from far places to benefit from the chesed that he managed to achieve. Klalo shel davar agona adia mod chesed shiva. Hafach liot ish tibor achov va'achud uchol shechvot ha'am. The Gaon managed to become a very known, well-respected, loved member of the community from all the chesed he did, from all the Torah teaching he did. Yofi, everything was wonderful. Af gedolei hador nihalu ito yechasei yedidut b'haracha. Even the gedolei hador treated him with friendship and valued him. V'kulam kibdu oto ma'od. Everyone respected him very much. V'ratzu et kivrato, and they wanted to be close to him. Yofi. Everything sounds good. Let's see. Chisaron echad, there was one lacking. Katan, one small fly in the ointment. What was that? Hayal gaon ha'adir amud chesed shlita, that the gaon had. B'chol hatzlachato hamarashima, in all the success that we listed. What was that? Ishto. His wife. His wife was the one small problem that the Gaon had. He lo ha'ericha oto v'lo kibda oto. She didn't value him and she didn't respect him. U'lehefeh. On the contrary, he rak hetzlonana kol hazman v'aitam v'azeh oto rabot. She only complained all the time and rebuked him continuously. B'chol pa'am she'aya ha'gaon ha'adir amud chesed shlita magia b'sha'ot mu'chaot l'beito. Every time that he would come home late at night, haya motzeit ishto nefulot panim u'merumeret, he would find his wife with a fallen face and in bitterness. U'pa'amim rabot tafkid mu'et panav sa'akot b'charachot. And many times he would face shouts and attacks. Haragon adir amud chesed shlita hishtadel hitalem v'anukuda halokol kach v'imo hazor shebachayam. So what did the Gaon do? The Gaon tried to hide himself away from this small issue in his life that wasn't going well. V'humiyet lavol v'eto, and he limited the times that he came home. Etzulunateha rabot shalishto yiches lebidoteha haraot he put her complaints, her many complaints of his wife, he put them down to the fact that she had bad midot. And the fact that she didn't have Yirat Shamayim. The reason why she complains all the time, she's got bad midot, she's not got Yirat Shamayim. She had Yirat Shamayim, she wouldn't complain so much. You know, she should know a thing from Hashem. Why is she complaining? She doesn't support her husband to the Talmid Chacham. Had Tzadik Ubaal Chesed Agadol, who's a Tzadik and he's a great giver of Chesed. Varak Matzikalo Baduishut Shonot Mishonot, and only attacks him with requests for all these different things. Who is Shadel? Shayala Tamid Keter B'Cheshbon Bank. He always tried that they had money in the bank. Kadei Shalotuchal Leton Shehuay No Doegla, in order that she wouldn't be able to claim that he wasn't looking after her. Aval Kolakesha Shelo Ita Im Habayi Hivabish Vilo Lo Yoter Miasher Mitra. But all the contact he had with her and with the home was nothing more than a bother, a burden. Who are deeply or bachutz? He preferred to be outside the house. Va'as v'shabatot v'yamim tovim. Even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, dag l'chash yaogenu lo shirei Torah. He made sure that they would find him shirei Torah to give. Chaval al hazman chashav. It would be a shame. He thought. Bimkom liot namak v'bayit. Hashem enatzel et hazman. La'od Torah u'gimlo chachadim. Much better than being stuck at home. I may as well use the time well to give Torah lessons and to do kindnesses. Kederach ha'olam gam yomo ha'aroch ha'acharon shel ha'ga'on ha'adir amud ha'chesed shlita higia. As is the way of the world, the final days of the Ga'on on this world came fast. Kolo shel ha'karoz amodia al levaya shel tzadikim. The car that goes round announcing the funerals announced his funeral as one of the tzaddikim of the city. Shehu modia b'kol bochim, right? It was announced with cries. Nitzchu eralim et hamatzukim. Nishba aron hakadosh. Right? All the phrases that they say about the tzaddikim. We lost today the great holy person, or Aaron HaKodesh has been destroyed. Halavayato shel ha'gaon ha'adir, Sar Torah v'chesed, Harav ha'gaon ha'adir, Amud ha'chesed, Shita, Heitzei b'shah, b'baba, l'har b'dukot. What they call out. U'sheirit Yisrael, yivchu et ha'soifa, asher sarach asher. Everyone is going to cry on the destruction, the burning that Hashem created from the loss of such a great holy Gaon. They gathered, crowds gathered, many people, Hamonim, gathered to for his Levaya. Hespedim, Nugashim, this Ua Yudei, Rabbanei Ha'ir, Hespedim, eulogies were given by the Rabbanot and the of the city, Hagaon Adir Amud Shlita, Shachab Merkaz, Hitzmalei Begaava, Lekazot Levaya, Lo Kol Echad Zocheh. Right? Where even from his place in the ground, the holy Gaon was full of pride that he had such a funeral. Right, that not everyone would merit to have funeral like he was just enjoying then. Oy vavoy, such a levaya. Kashia gaon adir amud chesed shlita l'shamayim. But when he got to Shamayim, miyad chatfu oto malachim v'hichishu oto l'beit din. They immediately grabbed him, threw him into the beit din. Hagaon ha'adir haya mufta v'yachasam ha'asari alav. He was the Gaon was very surprised at the way they were treating him in such a cruel way. Wait a minute, I'm a Gaon. What's going on? הוא היה בטוח שכל הכבוד שקיבל בחייו בכל התארים שכונה בהם. Right? He thought that he was certain that all the respect that he received during his life and all the wonderful names that they called him in his lifetime, Harav HaGaon, Amod HaChesed, right, the Holy Gaon, the Big Gaon, the Pillar of Chesed, etc., etc. Mashakfim et Hamatziot Shelo. That reflected his reality. Lachen lo hevin madua b'shamayim lo noagin bo et oto kavod. So he's very surprised that in Shemayim he thought that was really a true reflection of who he was. They called him Harav HaGaon. They called him Amod HaChesed. He was sure that is exactly who he was. Why aren't they treating me like that? In Shemayim he thought. Mishpato shel HaGaon Pitchil. They began his sentencing. Chavrei Beit HaDin Alvu Mahem Od Alkol HaMitzvot Shasa. The members of the Beit Din went very quickly through all the mitzvahs that he did. Lo Nira Shehem Hitrashmu Bimalato. It didn't seem that they were very interested in that. When they came to the subject of his marriage, Hishtana kol to'ar p'neihem b'tzurah mafchida. Suddenly, the face of the judges changed dramatically. Av Beit Din nira zoem, the head of the Beit Din appeared to be angry. K'shitzchil limnot et ha'pa'amim harabot, when he began to list to count the times, the many times she'ishto shel HaGaon bachta, the many times that his wife would cry, et ha'yamim harabot shenifka'a, the many times that she was hurt, et ha'yamim hashechorim she'avru alecha, the black days that passed over her, the tuchusha she'reikanot hefted, with feelings of emptiness and loss. Et asava hakasha shela, her disappointment, despair. Shebala lo hit yaches lemaamatzim she'asta b'bishul ma'achalim arivim. The despair that her husband paid no attention, made no effort to see the effort that she put in making him all different food. But Nikiona by cleaning the house, Sidor HaSalon, in fixing up the salon. Right? Husband was not interested, didn't show any interest in all that work that she did.
She was a widow before he died.
Yes, she was a widow before he died. But he didn't need to. He didn't need to say anything nice about her cooking because he was out busy doing chesed. He was out busy teaching Torah. And therefore, he didn't need to be nice to his wife. Right. Exactly. Klalo shel davar, the sum of it, HaGaon HaDir Amod HaChesed gila shehu ta'a b'chayav. It was revealed he made a big mistake. L'sikum, to conclude, Pana Elav Av Beit Din, the Av Beit Din, the head of the Beit Din, turned to him, Bishmo Paprati, Shu Mithalem, Lechalutin, Lechozo, that he turned to him and called him in his personal name, that he would order you, was definitely not with Kavod. Bensi, he called him. Bensi, Amnam Lamadata Habe Torah, even though you learn lots of Torah, and you did lots of chesed, you didn't fulfill your shlichut, the reason you were there, you didn't fulfill the reason that you came into the world or your tikkun. You were focused on your own success, on your own kavod, kol limud Torah, Torah halach l'sitra'afa. All of your Torah, wasn't a zuchut for you, wasn't a benefit, doesn't go down as a merit, as a mitzvah. It all went to the sitra'afa, it all went to the other side. All the Torah learning went to the other side. Now, tan koach atzum l'klipot gave a lot of power and strength to the negative forces of the world. Right? Because you didn't learn from a holy place, you learned for your own kavod. Kol ha-chesed she'asita lo yachol l'chaper lecha al avonotecha. All the chesed you did is not able to atone for your sins. Right? You did lots of chesed. That normally would be very good, that would stand in your favor. Bok Hashem, all the chesed you did. But your chesed cannot even atone for your sins. Ki ikka chesed hu babayit. Because the main chesed is at home. Ukushe'en chesed babayit. And if there's no chesed at home, kol ha-chesed she'otin b'chut hu haseh. All the chesed that a person tries to do outside the home is lacking. Lachen, therefore, kodem the kol, before everything, haita sorech la'asot chesed in ishtacha. The first thing a person needs to do before anything else is to give chesed to his wife. Shehi basar mivasarecha. She is flesh of his flesh. Aval bazeh shelo asita ken. But the fact that you didn't do this, givita she'ein lecha midat chesed, it actually reveals that you don't have the midah of chesed. If you can't give chesed to the primary person you need to get chesed, then it reveals the fact they're actually not giving chesed at all. Umashi atita chesed im anashim zoim. And the fact that you gave apparently chesed to all these other different people, zem ifnei she nehenetah makavod shalahem. You actually did it because you benefited, you enjoyed the kavod that you got from it. It wasn't from a midah of chesed, a true chesed. It was from a midah of enjoying the kavod that you received. Hikshavta la'aniyim v'anashim kashay yom v'lev mevin u'besavlano. You listen to poor people with an understanding heart and with patience. Because it was good for you. It was nice for you to see yourself like a tzaddik. Rachum ba'al ozen kashevet. A merciful tzaddik with a person who had a listening ear. Right? Looks nice. I feel good about myself. Aval keishtacha nista ledaber itcha. But when your wife tries to speak to you, hegashta shehi mekakshek. You simply felt that she was wasting your time, your holy precious time. You gave very nice drashot on shalom bayit. You gave very nice advice. You gave instructions to people getting married. But yourself, you didn't fulfill any of it. Even the advice you gave was advice which was there, which was lacking, missing the point. Batim neherasu ekev at, which was really bad actually. Batim neherasu ekev hajacha harashacha. Houses were destroyed, chas v'shalom, on account of the bad advice that you gave. Right? He gave really bad advice because he couldn't fulfill it himself. He wasn't giving advice from a place of knowing, from a place of truth. He's giving advice from a place of self kavod, whatever. Chas v'shalom. No one should stumble on anything that I say. Right? So they told him that all of this came about because you didn't understand that the main test and the main service of Hashem is to live a life of shalom bayit with your wife. You thought that doing that would be bitul Torah. Shazem bizbuzman, that it was a waste of time. התייחסת כאל נטל וכאל מצוות בכל המצוות הרבות הנפלאות שבין איש לאשתו. Right, you related to all the mitzvahs between you and your wife as a waste of time, like nothing. Mitzvot sheyesh bahen et hachesed hagadol biyoter. These mitzvahs which have within them the greatest chesed that can be, ha'amiti biyoter v'amok biyoter, the most truthful and the most deep. Those are the mitzvahs that you completely miss. When you are out there doing all the other mitzvahs, you missed the ikkah, the main ikkah, to do chesed to your wife. אם היית משקיע בשלום בית שלך, היית מגלה מהם עוד כמה אתה רחוק מקיום התורה. If he gets told, like the previous parush was told, if you would have got married, you would have realized how far away you were from fulfilling the Torah. כי תכלית התורה והמצוות היא להביא את האדם לאמונה, because the main purpose Torah is to bring a person to אמונה. אם כן, למה למדת את התורה ולא האמנת בהשם? If so, why did you learn Torah if you didn't even believe in Hashem? You learned lots of Torah, but you didn't truly have emunah. למה לא אמנת שכאשר אשתך מדברת איתך, זה Hashem מדבר איתך? Why didn't you realize, why didn't you believe that when your wife was speaking to you, it was really Hashem that was speaking to you? כאשר אשתך מבקשת שתשב בבית, when your wife asked you to stay home, זה השם שרוצה שתשב בבית. It was Hashem requesting that you stay at home. תכלית התורה והמצוות היא להביא אותך לענווה. The main purpose of the Torah is to bring a person to ענווה, humility. האם זו ענווה התעלם מרגישותיה של אשתך ולצאת מהבית על אפה ועל חמתה? How can it be that you can receive humility when you're hiding from the feelings of your wife and you're leaving the house when she gets upset? When she got angry, when she got upset, you would leave. Right? How can that be humility to leave the house at such a time? It can be data chesed, hibalev, the main part of the midah of chesed is in the heart. Sheiten et libo, that you give your heart et chesonot hazulat v'yirachem al habriyot. You give your heart to the lackings which are in the other person, and you have mercy on the create creatures, on the creation. Im ken keitzad yitachen shelo richamta al ishtapet. Therefore, how can it be that you didn't have any mercy on your wife? She was suffering for sure. She was not happy. And you didn't have any mercy on her. Lo natata me'etzmacha mizmancha. You didn't give her from yourself, from your time, mitzushumat libcha, from your attention. La'adam ha'karov elecha biyoter, to the person who is closest to you the most. Shemeitiv lecha kol hazman, to the one who benefits you all the time. Ha'obey yoter mikol hazarim sha'atita imhem chesed. Much more than all those other people that you're giving chesed to, that you got nothing from, whereas this woman is doing everything she can for you and you're not giving her anything back. Shalona natnu la lacha klum, that these people, the other people, don't give you anything chutz mikavod, apart from kavod. Haim achan mehem hayam mukhan lisha'er er b'leilot letapel b'tinok shalcha. Would any of them be prepared to stay awake in the night to look after your child, your baby? No. Your wife does. Haya mukhan lisbol alafit mehatsa'a shel ha-hereyon. Would any of them be prepared to suffer even a thousandth of the pain of pregnancy, shel ha-leida, of childbirth, etc.? V'kach nimshech ha-beitin le'arot le'bnei le'bensi. And so the head of the beitin showed Bensi shehu ta'a b'gadol, that he'd really made a mistake. I call rak mifnei shelo yichet la'avodah al shalom bayit hashivut rishona. And all of this was because he did not realize that his avodah when Shalom Bayit was the most important thing. B'shnei Mashalim Elu, in these two examples, says Rav Arush, Siparnu al Shtei Dumuyot Shel Anashim, we spoke about two types of the person, Shenechashavim Ve'enei Ha'olam Le'meyuchadim Ve'malatam, that seem in the eyes of the world to be in the heights, to be at the top. Sherad Yechidim Zochim Lagia Le'malatam, that only a few people can ever hope to be in such a place, right? Like the first guy who was a holy parish that spent all his life in Torah and prayer by himself, didn't get involved in the world, holy tzaddik. And number two, giving shurei, so he was one of the head rabbanim, giving Torah shurim all the time, had a big ilgun chesed, doing chesed with everyone all the time. Very few people achieve such height. And the world looks upon these people as the top. Behem kiblu siyun tov ba'atakol, they would get the top marks from anyone if you would ask about these people. Aval mikevan shelo zachu letziyun ha'ikari, but since they did not manage to merit the main thing, the main mark, shehu shalom bayit, which is shalom bayit, alkein b'shamayim haitam alatam nemucha yoteh, in Shemayim, their level was actually very low. Michelle and Hashim b'shutim od, in fact, much lower than very simple people. Shalom ra'im b'hem shum ma'alam yuchedet, that you wouldn't see in a simple person any great thing. Aval sochim lechiyot b'shalom b'toch b'tam, but these people, a simple person who manages to achieve Shalom Bayit is much, much higher than achieving all that success in this world. Whether the success is in Ruchniut, and for sure any success in Gashmiut. But even in Ruchniut, to be the highest person in the world, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. In Shamayim, what counts is truth. And what's the truth? Rav Arush tells us the truth is a person has Shalom Bayit. That's really where it's at. That's really how a person knows. If Hashem is happy with you, how do you know your wife is happy with you? If Hashem is not happy with you, how do you know your wife is not happy with you? That's it. It's very simple. Hashem made a very simple world with very simple rules. It's very easy. That's it. I don't know. Yeah, he did pass. You could go to the rabbi for a pass. That's a sack. Look, it's not his thing. We have Rav Elgrod as the main prospect of the yeshiva. So he gives out there. But if you happen to be by the rabbi and you ask him a halachic question, that he has the answer there. He'll. Yeah, fully in editor, as far as I'm aware. It's not. Top. We should merit to learn from these holy stories that we should pray. We're going to see, it's at the Shem, when we get into the advice of Shalom Bayit, how to achieve what we're talking about here.
My question is just that some people will give advice if they're fighting, and then when you ask them, well, how practically, I've still got the
resistance,
and then
the driver
will say, oh, look, I'm not
custom,
you know.
So as far as I'm aware, the Rav is very prepared to give very harif back then, where it's necessary. It's not embarrassed to say what needs to be said. Thank you.